podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oh! Wonderful shot by Lennox Lewis!
A right hand by Holyfield!
By Buster Douglas! Look at this! He's knocked Mike Tyson down for the first time in his career!
But unfortunately, it'll never happen.
Front! Punches! It punches! And it's over!
I think it's gonna be over.
I have to say, there seems an element of genuine hate between these two, Ambrose.
For sure. I don't hate the man.
Just imagine if you bought a ticket. Stop it, Frank. You can stop it any time.
Castillo's in trouble. Weak steps in, and the fight is over.
Oh! He's not good enough to
Welcome back to the Legendary Knights podcast after show. I am joined by our co-host, Luke, as always. But we're also joined by a very, very, very special guest for this. We're joined by the wife of Johnny Tapia, who you might have heard during the course of the episode, Teresa Tapia. Teresa, welcome to the after show. Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak to us and recollect about Johnny's fight with Danny Romero.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honour.
It's a pleasure to have you on. We really appreciated your input into the episode, and it really, for us, it added a lot of value to be able to tell the story, but to also hear it from your own perspective in your own words as well, which was fantastic. And, you know, we really enjoyed putting it together. Luke, I'm going to bring you into the conversation now. You've had the opportunity to listen to the episode. What are your thoughts, recollections, and memories of this particular fight and period of time?
Well, I mean, I think I speak for most people in my generation that Johnny Tapia was must-see television. And he was basically, besides Finito Lopez, he was the lower weight guy. I guess Michael Carbajal fits that bill as well for me in my era. But it was really Michael Carbajal, Finito Lopez, and Johnny Tapia. And I think that what I remembered about this was conversations that were hard to have, right? Because the internet didn't exist. And this was like a diehard fight fan of who's really going to win this, because there was that seed of doubt amongst some fans that Romero could do it. And then Tapia was just one of these once in a lifetime Hall of Fame type fighters, really, literally a Hall of Fame fighter. So I think that's what my seeds date back to when I think of this fight, as this was one of those moments that showed Tapia's greatness.
And Therese, just bringing yourself in, obviously you lived it, you got to live the experiences with Johnny, punch for punch, blow for blow, going back to that moment in time, and just for everybody else's benefit, really, just put it into context of what this meant to you, to Johnny, to be in Albuquerque, fighting for Albuquerque, to essentially be the king of Albuquerque.
It was definitely the biggest fight of Johnny's life. I mean, he, of course, you know, he likes to, when Johnny was alive, he talks about all of his championships, but this one was special because he was fighting for his state, for the pride of his city. He was, you know, Johnny was just not going to lose, and that was his whole frame of mind. And there was, didn't matter that he was maybe the loca who's always in the midst of craziness. All that mattered was that no one was going to beat him, mainly Danny Romero. And that was it. Like that was his whole attitude since the fight was signed, and it never changed till the day that he walked in the ring and actually beat Danny.
What I take away from this story is, Johnny, we know his stories, they're all well documented. You've told them many a time, Teresa, about how his life was so up and down throughout that period of time. But it was like he was such a sort of a calm guy for the most part going into most of his fights. But what I took away from it was the fact that for this particular fight, it was just all the stuff that was leading into it. Something just triggered him, completely triggered him. And I recall you telling me the story separately about what happened the first time you laid eyes on Danny Romero. So just taking yourself back to that moment in time, What was the tension like? What was the feelings like surrounding that build-up?
You know, it was definitely, you could feel it, the tension, you could cut it with a knife. And I remember the press conference was on April 30th, and I'll, you know, never forget it. We had, you know, we were, Johnny was up on the podium and Danny walked in, and I remember Danny kind of gave Johnny this look, and Johnny literally jumped over seats and podiums and everything to try to get at him. And it wasn't fake. It wasn't set to sell tickets. I mean, it was very real. And after that moment, with all the other incidents that were happening with the fights before this, the police in Las Vegas, Nevada said, we're not putting up with this. From that point on, the commission and the police and everybody involved thought, you know what, it'd be so dangerous to have these two in the same room with Johnny's temper. So they separated everything. They had separate press conference, separate weigh-ins. The first time I think that's ever been done. Metal detectors, you name it. It was just a different type of, no one had ever had to do that before these two met each other in that ring.
And Luke, bringing you into this conversation now, between 96 and 97, you had Tyson and Holyfield, the ear-biting incident. You had Bo and Galotta on two separate occasions in two of the wildest moments in boxing history. So leading into to Johnny's fight with Danny, tensions were not just high because it was a battle of Albuquerque. Tensions were high because boxing was in disrepute because of all them incidents at the time.
And I think also mention, I think Larry Holmes had an incident, and also wasn't Riddick Bowe socked a guy at a press con? Like, there were kind of like a slew of these every few years, but this one really stood out because it was like, you could kind of tell, like Teresa said, it wasn't fake. Like, I feel like some of these things you always kind of, whether it was the morality component, I wanted to believe they weren't real. The thing that made Johnny so legendary was you could just see kind of his vulnerabilities to all different levels, and you could see that his emotion was on his sleeves. And when he got into it with Romero and all these different instances, you could tell it was a genuine dislike. Like, that's what it came to me watching it from as a viewer.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, this was not for the cameras. This was definitely for the pride of their city. And I think, you know, even looking at Danny Romero's emotions, you could see that it meant just as much to him as it did for Johnny. And, you know, I'm watching it from both sides. And it was just a fight that the fans wanted. And I believe deep down between, you know, I can only speak for Johnny, of course, but I believe even with Danny, I think secretly, you know, both of them, no matter what, they wanted to know who was the best, and it had to be proven, and it had to happen.
Absolutely. And this is what was great about the tale for us. And the reason why we wanted to do it for this series of Legendary Nights is because it's one of them fights that I think there's so much that surrounded it that we feel like fights like this get forgotten about. You know, it's sad that they do. Not of course in America, but I mean in the UK and worldwide. Like, boxing fans are in a different generation now. Boxing fans don't always look past a certain date in time, and they forget about these things, or that maybe they don't even know about fights like this or moments like this in time. So when we put these episodes together, we want to do it on the basis that we want to tell the story of two competitors, two guys, you know, who had different walks of life, who came together on this collision course, who created a fantastic moment in that particular era, which it was a fantastic moment. The build up to it, the video package to it, I went back and watched it again, and it's just Lampley just describes things so greatly about these two guys going into the ring. And, you know, even looking back on it all these years later, it still sort of puts, you know, the hairs on my arm standing up, because I think, wow, you know, the whole build up to this was, it's a moment. It was a moment that solidified in time. And that's why we've enjoyed putting this together thoroughly. But just going back to this again, Teresa, looking back on the fight itself, looking back where Johnny was at that time, we know he was having troubles inside and outside of the ring. You were quite open and honest about the fact that there was a lot of trouble in the lead up to this particular fight with regard to him training. So how much of a logistical nightmare was this for you, obviously being his wife and his manager, trying to get him into the biggest fight of his life?
you know, it was definitely worrisome. I remember, you know, sitting there watching, you know, and reading and listening to everybody, because we're up in Big Bear training and Danny's in New Mexico up in the mountains training. And like I said, all I could hear was all these things, you know. And I remember there was quotes that Danny was saying, I'm going to knock him out third round and into the third row. That's how hard I'm going to hit him. And I'm just listening to all this stuff. And Johnny, like I said, it was almost like there was, he didn't, you could not get Johnny to even engage in anything Danny said. Anything, he was just, he would blow it off like it was not a big deal, and he would laugh and he'd say, I'd like to see it happen. That was Johnny's mentality and his attitude. But what was worrisome for me as his wife is, here we are together and you're, you know, I'm watching him, he's going to jail, he's not, he don't have his trainer, he's not training, he's messing around with drugs. It was just a nightmare for me to watch, and it was kept unfolding in front of me. And you know, I thought about, you know, canceling the fight. I thought about a bunch of things, and Johnny would tell me, you're not gonna cancel this fight, there's nothing you're gonna do, this fight is mine, I am going to win this fight. And he did. And but like I said, leading up to it, I mean, he fired Emmanuel Stewart, he, you know, was left without a trainer. It was just like I was telling you before, and I'm sure that, you know, that's all the stuff you already have recorded, but it was just the craziest time of our life. And I was very worried as a wife, as a manager. And when I finally confessed to Bruce Trampler, he was, you know, able to get us to Vegas. And again, no altitude. It was hot. It was 107 degree weather. Johnny was running in that heat. He was sparring. I remember Augie Sanchez, who's I believe a southpaw. So it wasn't even the right type of fighter for Johnny to be sparring. And he was just not doing well in sparring. Johnny would, he just didn't look good. So going into that fight, I just remember, as that, you know, when you see them both walking in and he's in that ring, you know, I'm sitting there basically holding my breath. And after that first round, though, I just knew he had it. I knew it was all going to be okay.
So, Lukey, bringing you back into the conversation now, just talking about, obviously, Johnny a little bit in the lead of what Teresa was talking about, and you know, giving us the story of how things actually went down going into that fight. When you look back on the performance that he puts on, it's, for me, the pivotal moment of his career. It's probably the best moment of his career in terms of not just winning a world title or defending the world title, but actually being able to say he was the best fighter out of Albuquerque in that weight category.
Yes, I think being able to wear that title, but I also believe that fight catapulted Johnny into a whole new level of success and attention. And, you know, it just, there was, that fight was the beginning of Johnny just skyrocketing into the fame that he found in the ring.
Luke, do you want to add to that?
I mean, I'm just enjoying listening. I'm enjoying listening, so I'm just going to fall back for a second. I just want to listen.
Teresa, you tell some great stories about Johnny, and obviously this, for me, you know, like I've said, we fawn a little bit over this episode, because when we put these things together for our listeners, we basically put it together on our own sort of passion for this sport and passion for its history and its fighters. And obviously, as you know, Johnny was someone we'd already covered for our Darker Side of Boxing series, which predominantly really focused more on the issues that he'd struggled with throughout his life from very early on all the way up until, you know, his untimely demise. And this episode for us was more about sort of putting him in the light, which I think people need to remember Johnny by, which is his sublime boxing skills and the way he was able to, you know, he was able to just live up to the hype that was around him, because people, I suppose, at the time probably didn't expect him to go in there, have, you know, knowing that he had all these recent troubles. And people, I can imagine people didn't really expect him to go in there and do what he did on that night.
I definitely agree with you, but it started when Johnny made his comeback to the ring after his, you know, 4-year exile from boxing, to put it politely. He, when he walked in the ring, I remember when he fought under Tommy Morrison's card in Oklahoma, everybody, all the newspapers, every boxing magazine, you know, they were, everybody was speculating and they didn't think he was going to have it. But not only did he have it, he was a different fighter. He was a better fighter. And because he had fallen down and came back, like Johnny used to say, I came back from hell and I did what I had to do. There was really no fear because he had already been through the worst. So when he came back the second time around, you know, back in 1994, March 27th, 1994, under the Tommy Morrison card, there was already a lot of speculation that he didn't have it. So at that same time, as Johnny's making his way back, Danny Romero's dominating.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All of these newspapers about being the hardest, you know, hitting, you know, a guy in that weight class, that he was knocking these people out that were 147 pounds. And, you know, that's what you'd see. So it was always positive on Danny's side and it was always negative on Johnny's side. It was like, okay, he won, but how long is it going to last? All right, he won that one, but now what's going to happen? And then Johnny, of course, being true to form and who he was also getting in trouble, even though he had made his comeback and he won his title and he was still getting in trouble and he was kicked out of New Mexico. So again, Johnny had all this bad, bad media, and Danny in that time was the golden boy, you know, we want it from New Mexico because everybody was saying, oh, he's such a great guy and he's doing this. And so it was always that comparison. And Johnny was always going to be the bad guy and Danny was always going to be the good guy. And that's just all it was. So watching all that play out, when they finally arrived and they met in that ring, people forgot about the bad guy and the good guy. All they thought about was Johnny was the champion. Johnny proved beyond a shadow of the doubt that he was the best. And that was it. End of story. And Johnny moved on and he went on to do great, great things and become a hall, multiple Hall of Famer, 7 different Hall of Fames. And here we are making movies on him. We have series coming out. There's 2 books on him. We have a movie that's in the works by a great director. I mean, the sky's the limit and this guy isn't forgotten. It's just going on and on and on.
Luke, I'm going to let you come in now and give your thoughts, okay, feelings and opinions on just everything Teresa's really saying. And of course, looking back on the fight itself, given what Teresa said and given what we know of what was going on at the time, just really sort of putting into context, you know, how good of a performance this was for Johnny and how much of a pivotal moment it was.
Well, I mean, I think that to me, Johnny Tapia was always kind of like the Oakland Raiders of the NFL. He's like, there was a bad boy image to him, but there was something so likable as well. And I think that's what like Al Davis and the Raiders organization kind of has played off. And what kind of bothered me about this fight was, and this is going through the episode and also my memory, and I could be a little wrong, was there was a hint of Romero not respecting Johnny Tapia. And there was like moral undertones to that, not respecting the skill set. And I could be remembering this wrong, but that always bothered me because it's like, people's lives can be whatever. We all have our own vices, but I don't like when we bring that type of stuff or just kind of belittle a champion. Boxing's the worst at this, where a person will achieve so much and then they go through a pitfall and then the guy that's fighting them will, he didn't do anything. You know, it's really the most disrespectful sport of any sport. We will look at a Hall of Famer and condemn them off of one performance or one mistake. I think a perfect example is Errol Spence right now. He's never lost a fight, but how many people want to condemn him because he's had an issue outside of the ring that a lot of people struggle with, right? But people want to condemn Spence or pass judgments on him based off of him struggling, which I think is more relatable, right? And I think that's why Tapia resonated with me, right? Relatability. We all struggle with things. And to me, this fight was a battle, not just of New Mexico, but it was kind of like a battle of different forms of status quo. And once, what was beautiful about it was once they got in the ring, it was strictly a fight. And I think that's my memory of it, was all this stuff going into it. got thrown out the window, and the legend of Tapia kind of set the record straight in the ring.
And I agree with you 100%. I mean, Johnny wasn't given the credit by anybody. I mean, yes, he had his fans and he had a lot of people that said, you know, about his talent, but you're absolutely 100% right. They had forgotten that Johnny was 20-0 before he was kicked out of boxing for 4 years, and they underestimated him. And all everybody could see, because Danny was the fresher of the two. He was the younger. He had been dominating while Johnny wasn't fighting, you know. And I think they were so hung up on that, everybody was underestimating the fighter that he was.
Yeah, I agree with that, Teresa. I think that's a good way of assessing where things were at that particular time. But just sort of talking about the fight and the aftermath of this, I have always said to you, Teresa, and I'll say it again, because I believe it was a defining moment. All the boxers have them. Every boxer usually gets the opportunity to have a defining moment in the career, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And whilst people might have looked at the bad side of what was going on in Johnny's life around the time and around those few years, that particular moment, I think now looking back on it with hindsight, I think you look at it, and for me, looking as an outsider, I look at it and go, well, this was a defining night in his career. This was part of what was going to lead on to, like you say, multiple weight world champion, multiple time Hall of Famer. And I think this was one of them big moments in his career, which really sort of, I'm not saying it didn't skyrocket him before when he first wins a world title, but I certainly feel like from this moment on, when he beats Danny Romero, it was like the sky's the limit for Johnny, and we got to see what would go on to happen in his boxing career, for better or for worse. But it was like this moment was like this defining moment in his career, which sort of led on and started to really solidify the legacy of Johnny Tapia.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And sadly, it also defined what happened to Danny after that fight. You know, one was catapulted into fame and stardom and multiple world champions, and one could never get back up from that loss. So, you know, it was kind of sad to see, because you got to remember, even though all of that emotion was so bad between them at the time, Johnny actually felt sorry for Danny, and later on went back and picked him up and, you know, gave him opportunity and introduced him to people. And I actually managed Danny, and I got him Intercontinental Championship. And it just was never the same, though. And, you know, being that Danny was from New Mexico, and, you know, obviously being a fellow New Mexican, you wanted to see him pick himself back up and come to win another world title or two world titles. But sadly, it just didn't happen. That wasn't meant to be. And so, you know, when you pick apart both sides, yes, we're ecstatic. We're on cloud nine and there's no stopping Johnny. But then you look at the demise of Romero after that fight, and that was sad, because, again, there's always a winner and a loser.
So, Luke, I'm going to bring you in because I want you to really give a closing statement from your side, really, about this tale about Johnny Tapia, Danny Romero, what it meant for that moment in time, what it meant for Johnny, what it meant for Danny, what obviously Teresa was just mentioning, and just your sort of final feelings and opinions on this tale, this story, and this wonderful fight.
Well, I think for me, the closing statement is, it's like, this was a massive fight that really defined Tapia's legacy. Like, this is the fight a Hall of Fame fighter wins, fending off the young guy who's emerging, right? And then you enter in all the storylines that they're from basically the same state, same area, you know, all these interesting nuances. But I think another legacy of this fight is, seemingly was very hard to find a venue, like a story within a story. Like, if you guys made a documentary or a movie on this about how hard it was to get a venue, that's something I'd be all in on, because that was something I was thinking about. Like, I think that's another element to this fight's legacy, is the logistical kind of nightmare this fight was, led to probably an evolution in the boxing business on top of the legacy component.
And you know, like, when we talk about having the fight somewhere, as you know, Johnny wanted it in New Mexico. And, you know, from what I understand, the Romeros wanted it outside of New Mexico. But I believe that, you know, this fight it was already a legendary fight, but can you imagine the magic behind it if it would have been held in New Mexico? And you would see all of these, this talk about these airplanes being turned around midair because the Tapia and Romero fans were fighting. And, you know, HBO did a wonderful job, you know, documenting the before what was happening in New Mexico. And I believe that there was newspapers that said that the quietest night in Albuquerque history for crime, because everybody was watching, like it was just beyond, like the numbers that came in from the viewership in New Mexico was beyond crazy all over the world. But you got to remember, this was a pride of a hometown. So there was no one on the streets. They did, HBO was, you know, was, you know, roaming around with their cameras. There was no one outside. There was, the streets were empty. It looked like a ghost town. And to me, that is like, it's like the coolest thing ever to know that these two little giants were able to accomplish that. And, you know, they left it in the ring. And after that, you know, it was just, it just shows you the magic and the power that a lot of these fighters have. And it was just, like I said, it was epic. It was just an epic night, an epic fight, everything about it. We could definitely do a documentary around, I mean, just going on what was happening on Danny's side, what was happening on Johnny's side, what was happening in the state, what was happening in the city, what was happening in Nevada as they're trying to lock in venues, what was happening behind doors at the police department in Las Vegas, where they were scared that, you know, there was going to be a riot. I mean, it was just, there's so many layers of things that you can do and talk about with this fight.
There is, and I think that was a brilliant way to give a closing statement from yourself there, Therese. I think there's nothing more that I think you could add to that that would top what you've just said about this particular fight. And you're right, it would be brilliant to see a high-level production company bring in their technical knowledge, their technical side, and be able to put something like this together. I mean, this is on the 25th anniversary. It's 25 years since that fight took place. It's just passed, and, you know, it was ironic that we were doing the episode around a similar time this actually happened, and we're really happy that we was able to put this together. And finally, for myself, for everybody listening, I hope you have enjoyed having Therese's input into this and into the episode. I hope you've enjoyed having Lukey's input into this and to the episode. And Therese, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing just a few snippets of what it was really like at that moment in time.
Well, I thank you both for having me on. And it, like I said, it's always an honor. And thank you for deciding to highlight this very important time for Johnny and Danny and the whole state of New Mexico. And I do thank you for that.
Well, Therese, it's been a pleasure. Lukey, it's been an absolute pleasure having you both on for your thoughts, feelings and opinions on the tale of Johnny Tapia versus Danny Romero. Fight fans, if you've enjoyed listening to the after show, make sure you let us know on social media, on Twitter at Legend Night Pod, or on Facebook, the BTR Boxing Podcast Network. You can find us on Instagram. Make sure you've subscribed to the YouTube channel as well. If you've not checked out our Patreon membership page, please do go and check that out. See all the available services that we have on there, early access to episodes, ad-free episodes, patron-only content, you name it, we've got it on there. Please check it out, patreon.com/BTR Boxing Podcast Network. That's it, Fight Fans. I hope you've really enjoyed this episode, the after show on the tale of Tapia versus Romero.
Podcast Network.